dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, wherever you happen to be. This is episode 165 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I'm indeed Bruce Knox, and I'll get to introduce the two jokers to my left and right in just a moment after I tell you that we are brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, 1 Nancy Wilson Way. You can find them on the web at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. They are all fun and games at Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Stop by, and they're open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. They've got pizza, parties, all kinds of events they'll host for you, sports, arcade, super inflatable land, and, of course, even inflatable rentals. That is Triple Crown Family Fun Center. And now I'd like to introduce the two gentlemen seated right and left to me. They are, in fact, Mr. Shane Combs of SBCSportsZone.com. Shane, how are we?
Doing really well, Bruce. How about you?
I am doing super as well. And the other young man, just opposite of Shane, Mr. Derek Webb. Derek, how are you?
I'm good. Happy to be back after a week off from vacation, huh?
and being in Cleveland, right?
Yes, that's right. My favorite city.
Well, Shane, it's been a busy week in SVC land, including some incredible performances and finishes in multiple SVC sports. What about that?
Yeah, it really has been a lot of fun on last week's show, just getting a lot of feedback and anxious to get Derek back in the studio to kind of share some of my ideas with him on some of these great topics. Obviously, the football, we're halfway home. Yeah, I always joke, people like me, that kind of means basketball is around the corner. But there's obviously a lot of football to still watch and break down in the following weeks to come. And volleyball went into its second half, had some exciting finishes. Plus, we'll have some tournament possibilities we get to in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Soccer, cross country. But really, Derek, I guess we'll start this week as I welcome you back. I guess we have to start with golf as we get our first SVC champion, the Piketon Red Streaks. So Wednesday night, they lose to Uniota for the first time. And they kind of admitted to me, Derek, that the nerves of winning the quote-unquote golden golf ball kind of got to them. And mm-hmm. I thought that was a very honest answer of them to just share that with me. A lot of the players did. Even Coach Moore did a little bit. But I tell you, boy, did they come back relaxed the next morning as we went down to Portsmouth Elks. I had a chance to go down and watch some action and the 18-hole event down there and Piketon, as I tweeted out, just completely scorched the course on both sides, and they're your SVC champions. And I guess we go back to the preseason. That certainly doesn't surprise us. Just your thoughts, Derek, on the past week of three rounds of golf, of the Piketon golf team winning an SVC title.
Well, you know, I mean, I think anytime you beat or snap a seven-year winning streak, and that is, you know, what would be Uniota's past winning streak now, it's quite an accomplishment. And then you place, you know, three of your top five players and the top, you know, five in the SVC as far as nine-hole averages go. So, yeah, I mean, congratulations to the Piketon Red Streaks. Congratulations to Steven Zimmerman, player of the year there. And really, and Shane, you would know more about this than I do, but when you shoot 232s as a senior in high school, that's pretty incredible.
Oh, no question, and especially to do it. It's one thing to do it with your buddy out on a Saturday morning, and it's another thing, Bruce, to be able to go out with the league on the line. And you know, these SVC matches are different. It's not like you show up and you have to be able to beat Uniota on those two occasions, like, you know, say a Dina Uniota volleyball matchup or a Zane Trace Uniota or Zane Trace Paint Valley football matchup. Every time they get together, Bruce, all eight schools are there, and you've got to be better than everybody to get a win. So really impressive that the Zimmerman kid was able to do that, and really the entire Piketon team.
It sounded like they did so in dominant fashion.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, I tell you, while we're on the golf coverage, it makes sense to let's give Crown Hill Golf Club a shout out. Obviously, they're the host of the Westfall Mustangs, and I believe that was SVC match number 5 that they hosted. They'll also be the tournament site coming up, so we'll be talking more about them. But Crown Hill Golf Club, been so good to the website, so good to our area of golf. 740-986-4653. Again, that's Crown Hill Golf Club. And guys, as we get right into some of our golf coverage, let's just go ahead and tee the show off with that. Coach Kevin Moore, congratulations to him and his Piked and Red Streaks. They win 7 out of those 8 matches, and they really do so with great balance. Steven Zimmerman Sr., DJ Graham Sr., Casey Moore Sr., Colton Blakeman Jr., Jamie Clifford, I believe he's a sophomore. I believe I don't have that in front of me. And then Denzel Endicott's a freshman. Also want to talk Baden Fuller. I know he's a senior with a great attitude that had a lot of leadership qualities and different things for that team. So, you know, I guess the best way to highlight them, similar to the way we have some of the other teams on SVC Sports Talk, is I wanted to have a chance to give the kids a chance to hear their voice on SVC Sports Talk. So let's just go down the list. I know the first person I was able to talk to is our Player of the Year, Steven Zimmerman.
Steven's first, congratulations. Obviously, you've played really well of late. It's kind of a quick turnaround from last night at JC's to here at Portsmouth today. Can't say enough about your round today. Just take the fans through it. I know on the front side is where you started. Had you down for birdies on 2, 6, 8, and 9. I'm assuming that birdie maybe on number 2 jump started your round a little bit.
I mean, it kind of jump started the round, but I really just wanted to focus hole by hole and just continue trying to stay low.
Well, you make the turn. I know 10 is the toughest hole out here, long par 4. You make the double there, but then you come back with a birdie at 11 and at 14. 11, birdie kind of settle you back in a little bit in the round?
Yeah, kind of. Well, on number 10, I hit the wrong ball and I had to take a penalty. So on 11, birdie kind of settled me back down.
Absolutely. Well, the last question, Aaron, and I guess obviously team goal is to finish the job and get the league championship here today. But I know this group has been at this for a while now, so I'm sure later in your career you guys have some big goals ahead still.
Yeah, we most of our seniors are planning to go play collegiate golf and really looking forward to playing it.
Well, congratulations on a great round today and the championship. Best of luck in the tournament.
Thank you.
Again, that's our Player of the Year, Steven Zimmerman. Congratulations to him. And guys, next up was DJ Graham, who's kind of the Mr. Consistency all year long, kind of the guy that halfway through looked like he was going to be the Player of the Year. Certainly didn't do anything to hurt his calls. In terms of the individual competition, it was far more about what Steven did and less of what DJ. I mean, DJ came out, shot 39-38 on Wednesday. So, you know, all of a sudden you shoot 39 on the front and lose by 7 shots. That tells you your teammate, you know, is playing some pretty good golf. So, again, make no mistake about it, a huge, huge part of this SVC championship team was DJ Graham. And here's what he had to say afterwards.
Well, DJ, few players throughout the entire league more consistent than you all year long. I don't believe you had a round out of the 30s in SVC play. And, you know, when I watched Uniota's run over the years, it's been such a depth and consistency. Consistency and depth kind of have been your guys' staple all year long. Just talk to the SVC fans about just the depth in the Piketon program that you've been a part of building over the last 4 years.
We are a very, very, very talented team with 3 seniors and then a 4th senior and then a freshman that's been playing really well. And a sophomore he's quite a stud, been playing very well. And, yeah, so consistency is what we want. Tom Colton Blakeman, our junior, he is a good putter, very good putter.
Well, talk to me about your game a little bit. Obviously, the consistency is the thing that jumps out at me. It seems like every time you guys play, it comes into the website, and it's another 37, 38, 39 right there every time. Just throughout the course of the round, you guys come up on the short end last night for the first time this year. Obviously, 24 hours later, really regrouped and played arguably your best golf of the year. Just take me back through the last 24 hours, your mindset last night compared to standing here as an SVC champion.
Last night, we were focused on trying to win the gold ball, and, well, that didn't happen. So today, that was out of our way. It was just go play 18 holes of golf and nothing in our way.
Well, if this is the way you guys play, relax. Make sure you can duplicate this feeling next week. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's DJ Graham, and we'll finish out the trio of seniors here. Next up was Casey Moore.
Well, Casey, obviously you've had a really consistent year. If you look across the board, I'm sure you guys set out, with you being one of the senior leaders, set out to win the SVC championship. So to finish the deal playing so well today, it has to be a good feeling.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Any day, just finishing your SVC career with a good team score is always good.
Well, you know, I have you down 35-39, obviously your typical solid round where you're right in the middle of the action for your team. You guys come back here next week for sectional play. I'm sure beyond the SVC championship, you guys have some pretty lofty goals.
Of course, we typically play this course well as a team, and just get winning sectionals, win districts, and go to state.
Well, we're all behind you. Best of luck to you next week, and we look forward to following you here in the tournament trail.
All right, thank you.
Well, Derek, there at the top of the lineup, we have the three seniors. Obviously, we'll get to their depth in a second, which I think is every bit is important. But make no mistake about it, these three at the top obviously anchor the Piketon program. With Zimmerman there, the player of the year, just over 36 average. DJ Graham, we talked about Mr. Consistency. He's right around 37. And then Moore comes in right around 39. And as you mentioned in the opening, three of the top five golfers. Just obviously it takes a mix of talent throughout your entire program, but senior leadership means so much on a championship team. Just your thoughts on these three kids at the top of the Piketon lineup.
Well, you know, just when you talk to them and hearing them talk about their season and their success, you can tell they're good kids as well.
Sure.
Which is just so awesome to see. Especially at the high school level, and Steven Zimmerman said it best. So they all want to go to a collegiate level, and they played this year, and they played like they can have success at that next level. So hopefully that's what happens. Hopefully they follow through on those plans, and I'm excited to see these guys in on a tournament run.
Oh, no question. And you know, Bruce, let's highlight some of the depth as well. We talked about these three seniors at the top of the lineup. As you get down to their four-man, Colton Blakeman, he's a junior. You heard DJ Graham talk about his ability to putt really well, and he's been pretty steady in that spot. I had a chance to catch up with him after the final round as well.
Well, Colton, again, you've heard me use the word consistency. You've been in the mix all year long on one of the better teams in our league here in recent years. As you have come up over the last couple of years, what would you say individually is where your game's improved the most?
My game improved the most, like as DJ says, putting. Being able to, if I can hit greens, I'm probably going to make bars.
As you play in a round like today, it's kind of a weird format for the SVC fans that don't know. You're playing two rounds at one time, basically. I mean, obviously, you guys played 18 holes before this year, but it is kind of a different format. As you're looking at individual goals to chase all league, and you're looking at a team goal of finishing off the league, is it different? Does it change your mindset at all when in the unique format that you guys are playing here?
Oh yeah, it's definitely. Playing two different rounds is two different matches. You need to get everyone on the same page playing together and working as a team to come out and play our best golf.
Well, you certainly did that, and again, you get to come back to this course next week for another 18-hole, obviously the step of your guys' next goal, and hopefully that's a long tournament run. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Again, that's the junior Colton Blakeman. Next up, we go to the sophomore Jamie Clifford, who's been outstanding down the stretch, and on Wednesday was no different.
Well, Jamie, a young player in the lineup that has a lot of leadership ahead of you. I've noticed a couple times you've shot scores in 38, 39, 40 that don't even count. But there's been other nights where the depth that you guys have really been able to pick one of your top three, four guys up when they've needed it. Does it take some pressure off of you getting to play a little down in the lineup, knowing you have such talented older kids ahead of you?
Yes.
Throughout the round, what would you say is the strength of you as a player in terms of your game? What do you feel like the best part of your game would be?
Long irons and trying to hit the greens with long shots.
Well, I'll tell you, the league's really excited for you as you get a chance to go into the postseason. Best of luck to you next week.
Thank you.
And then let's go ahead and finish out the lineup down at the bottom. I know he's a little disappointed with the way he played the other day, but as I talked to him about, and what was really neat, guys, was the reaction I was getting from his teammates as I was interviewing the youngster, Denzel Endicott, the freshman down in the sixth spot for the Red Streaks.
With Denzel, I'd ask you one of the same questions I just asked there as a freshman down in the lineup. I know just getting to know you today and watching your reactions a little bit, you weren't real happy with the way you played today. But if we go back throughout the year, and I think your teammates would agree, I think DJ talked to it, there was a couple nights where the league could have gotten really interesting where you really stepped up big time for this team. So I'll ask you the same question. As a younger kid, down in the lineup a little bit with such talented older kids ahead of you, do you feel like that takes a little pressure off of you and just going out and trying to relax and have some fun?
No, not necessarily.
Do you think that's pressure you put on yourself then as a player?
Probably, yes.
I spend so much time typing your names and scores into the website, but I don't get out a chance to see you play live a little bit. What in your game would you say is the strength that makes you such a talented young player, and then maybe give us something moving forward you want to try to improve in your game?
Oh, definitely iron play. What I want to improve? Probably putting.
Well, I'll tell you what, best of luck. You not only have a chance to be a part of a special group moving forward here, already an SVC champion, but I know you got a bright career ahead of you as well. So congratulations and best of luck.
Thanks.
Again, down there at the bottom three, you get some younger kids. You can tell they're a little new to this, Derek, but obviously the depth. I talked about Denzel Endicott. He's a kid that I want to say back in the Dogwood match, SVC match number 2, shoots a 38, picks up a couple guys that uncharacteristically played poorly on that particular night. He was a kid about 5-6 rounds in, was in the all-league mix as well. It kind of got away from him. He slips out, but as I was saying, obviously he's very, very important. And then Clifford and Blakeman, as their fourth and fifth men, they make all league as well. Clifford ends up in that unofficially. All these things I'm giving you are unofficial until the league releases it. Most years, we're pretty close in terms of our record keeping. We've got him in a tie for eighth, right around just under 41 on average, and then Blakeman down in the 11 hole have him at 41.7. So those three kids. You know, Derek, I think when it comes to golf, it's not just those top kids at the top of the lineup, because you'll see a lot of teams have those really quality one and two players. But really what makes the SVC champion is the depth that Piketon was able to put together throughout their entire lineup. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's exactly what, handed them the championship this year. You see, if you look at the SVC Sports Zone website and, go down the list of schools on the individual leaderboard, you see a lot of Piketon. And that's really what it takes to beat a talented Uniota team this year as well. That very easily on any other year could have won this, but you see the growth from the older kids. And what that does is it makes the younger kids even better because they have somebody to look up to. I look for Piketon, even without the Zimmerman, Graham, and Moore trio, to even compete next year just because of the three that we just talked about.
Sure. Yeah, no question about it. And Bruce, people can go on the website and go to the bottom of the golf page and see that. Schoblock and Calvin of Uniota with really steady years. Carr and Rose make all league as well. Uniota not quite to get that consistency out of the fifth and sixth spots to pick the top half of the lineup up. And then Smith of Southeastern, nice year. Postage of Adina, really nice year. Trey. And then I go down through here. I had a chance to see Chaney play several holes the other day, a nice player from Zane Trace. He went on to a medal in the ZT Invite over the weekend as well. Blake Walters, baseball player of mine, happy for Blake there at Paint Valley, had a nice year. He's an all-league kid with high goals. Brooks of Zane Trace. Conrad of Westfall. So again, you can see those kids on the website and their averages there, but congratulations to them as our first fall sport. Bruce is ready for the postseason. So wanted to highlight some of that at the beginning of the show here, and then we'll get into some of the other stuff if you're ready to go.
Alrighty, fans, coming up, we have plenty of football and volleyball in this week's show, but first we have an ongoing topic that seems to never die in the SVC. Sure. Shane, I mentioned that this topic never dies, and I was just thinking as I was listening to the break music there that perhaps I should just link my compensation to the number of times we talk about this. This that I'm talking about, folks, is the SVC expansion. And I know we've picked this up out of the 6 years. I'll bet we've touched on this at least four of the 6 years. And why don't you kind of give us a rundown, Shane, of that discussion that we've had about the SVC expansion?
Guys, here's what's really intriguing about the SVC expansion discussion. Every year this topic comes up, usually multiple times. There's so many different perspectives out there. I'll get emails. I'll have conversations about it. Different people have different passions or different angles they want to take it. Obviously, I don't put it on the agenda every time it comes up. But after a while, it starts to become such a ongoing discussion, and people start to get more and more passionate about it. That, you know, I had one email clear back in the summer, guys, saying ideas for SVC Sports Talk, and they're talking about it doesn't hurt to visit it every year because, you know, schools or administrations or things like that, you know, don't really have any desire to maybe do the expansion. It certainly doesn't hurt for people to have a voice and to throw out ideas and continue to move forward. So I guess that's kind of where we're at with it. There's a big school perspective out there where the small schools are kind of in the way, is what one person called it, where keeping the league from growing. And then there's a small school perspective where the big schools are in a position to grow the enrollment and simply outnumber the schools. So the small schools are able to kind of pick and choose the sports they want to try to be competitive at, but it's impossible for them to be competitive across the board. So, you know, the answer of expansion and change, realignment, whatever word you want to use, they're all used to me. Whatever you want to use is fine. But understand, many people think we beat this topic to death, but others say we don't talk about it enough. They say there's nothing wrong with discussing or updating it throughout every year. There's a lot of new people to the show. You know, kids have parents have kids graduate. And a lot of times we'll pick up new listeners as new kids become freshmen, sophomores, whatever. And even though the league stance is nothing going on, people just feel like it's a healthy thing to do to go about it. So I've tried to bring back some of the emails, some texts. I know in the 5 weeks of football, here's something interesting. In the 5 weeks of football, four different Friday nights, I've had someone stop me at a game from three different schools. And talk to me about this very thing. I've been stopped at a volleyball match a few weeks back and was asking about the expansion talk, if we're going to be doing any of it on SVC Sports Talk, and those people shared some ideas. So I guess that's just some of the history of it before I get into my my opinions.
Yeah.
Derek, I'll ask you to kind of do the same thing. Before we actually get into our opinions, what kind of history at the Chillicothe Gazette, or just obviously you're out and about every bit as much as I am, it's just your conversations on this topic?
I've had plenty of conversations about this topic. We've had plenty of submissions, letters to the editor, I guess hopeful articles that would get in the sports section the next day. And, you know, we've even put a couple articles in there. One just off the top of my head, I think was the most recent, was Dave Shoemaker out there at Paint Valley, who's an excellent writer himself. He submitted it, and he made a very intriguing argument for SVC expansion. And then you also have your letters to the editor and your articles and your discussions about it makes it an intriguing discussion against SVC expansion. So, you know, like you said, I think maybe I probably get asked about it a little bit less than you do, since I am at, you know, some Chillicothe events. I think Chillicothe obviously isn't obvious. They're in the SCOL, but believe it or not, that topic has grown even at Chillicothe events, because if you remember, when the SCOL was, you know, announced to being disbanded, Chillicothe wanted to become part of
That's
the
right.
SVC. Yep. So, you know, it does come up more, and it's definitely come up more since the SCOL has, you know, kind of went away from a league. And I'm sure that it'll continue to keep coming up whenever Chillicothe finds this new league that they're in. So, it's an ongoing discussion. I agree. I don't think you can talk about it enough. And as you said, I don't think some people think you talk about it too much. So it's one of those things where you know, everybody has an opinion.
Well, Derek, since you mentioned it, you are the new guy. We have not heard where you stand on this issue. And so what is your opinion when it comes to the expansion of the SVC? And what do you think's best for the future of the conference?
Well, I mean, put simply, you know, I think an expansion would be beneficial. Absolutely. You know, you have a if you really look at the schedules in the SVC already, they play a lot of the teams like an SCOL. You know, off the top of my head, you know, Greenfield played Uniota, both Uniota and Zane Trace and Edina this year in football. I mean, that was their three non-conference games. So, you know, if you put McLean and Chillicothe and, you know, Miami Trace and Jackson in a division, which they all will be next year anyways, and then you add a team like Uniota into that division. I think Shane mentioned earlier with smaller schools, you know, one of their you know, biggest complaints is that Uniota has have the numbers. So, yeah, they're going to win because they have the numbers. And if you look at, say, basketball, you have a Division IV team in Paint Valley that's playing a Division II team twice a year in Uniota. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Paint Valley wins that game. But if you look at the dominance overall, I think it's 21 of the last 25 all sports banners has went to Uniota. If something needs to change, I mean, they're like the New England Patriots of high school sports, you know. And I love covering Uniota. It's nothing against them. It's just, you know, you can only win so many times, but then challenge yourself, you know, play bigger schools and then win. You know, and then you think about the facilities aspect. I mean, you know, you'd get Paint Valley if they, you know, would play a non-conference game against Chillicothe. They get to play at a Hernstein field. They get to play at a Jackson Ironman football field. You know, and then you throw in the SVC's facilities as well, where, you know, those two teams, Jackson and Chillicothe, could habitually play in Southeastern's gym, Uniota's baseball and softball facilities, which are constantly used for district play. You know, I think it would benefit everybody. I know I've had the complaint would be, well, the smaller schools would be outnumbered. Well, I get that if it's in one division, but you know, obviously, if you put 16 schools in one conference or 14 schools, you're going to have two divisions. And so I think that complaint is kind of you know, not in the realm of possibilities that could happen, especially if you have a league you know, front office or a league board that would you know, make sure that doesn't happen. That's what they're there for. Mm-hmm. And then you look at, you know, the next level at college for the students now. Why would they not want to challenge themselves? And that's what probably the most intriguing argument for SVC expansion is that, you know, these kids from smaller schools would get to play kids from bigger schools, not just Uniota, but again, Chillicothe, Miami Trace, Jackson, McLean. And, you know, whoever else would join. And Waverly is another intriguing aspect to throw in there as well. So, you know, I think the biggest problem with it is that you do have people that are scared of change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, hopefully one day that changes and we see an expansion. But again, that's my opinion. And I'm sure there's many to agree and many to disagree with that.
Those of us who are afraid to change are afraid of changing. So, yes,
exactly.
I agree. Well, let's go to the boss, Mr. Combs. What do you think?
Well, I obviously the confusing thing for me in this discussion over the years is I've even been criticized for dodging the question, and I don't feel like I'm dodging it at all. I feel like I'm being very detailed in how I respond, because the reason I say that is I wear so many hats for the SVC. Yeah. I do a website, then I coach multiple sports. I have family at a school. I graduated from another school. So there's a lot of different viewpoints that I offer in this. So first, I'm going to start with the hat of just being a fan. Take all of my connections to schools out of the way, and I'm just going to go with an ambassador of the SVC, and I'm going to say that I disagree with Derek. I'm going to say that I think we as a conference have to look around and be aware of what is taking place. And I think Chillicothe is the perfect example of where we've got to really slow down and do our homework. Chillicothe's made some moves that have certainly benefited them in a win-loss standpoint, in terms of their morale standpoint. But I think if you talk to them, you'll also hear from people that, you know, what it's like all of a sudden to put your junior high kids on a bus two times in a week and drive an hour, hour and a half to a non-league game. Your scheduling issues, the multiple sports things, the division thing doesn't work. You know, I've done my homework on this. I've asked, if you're going to have two divisions, you basically just are two different conferences. Yeah. You know, you talk to someone, Bruce, maybe you can jump in here. You talk to someone in the Tri-Valley Conference. If you're in the Ohio division or if you're in the hockey division, you don't feel like you're in the same conference. So you have to feel like, hey, if we're going to do this, we have to be willing to take a long, long history. And maybe I am afraid of change in this standpoint, but you're also breaking up something that once you break it up, it's not like you try it for a year or two and then come right back. Usually what happens is you start to break things up and then one or two people move this way or one or two people move this way. Or, hey, we were going to try this, but it's not working for us. Now where are you bringing the other school into? So I just think the SBC has incredible geography, the distance that we travel, the media coverage. The one reason our conference is covered so, so well is, again, because of the geography and in the closeness in terms of we have someone like Derek who can take on multiple schools, where a lot of these area newspapers, they can't do that. Our area scheduling is really, really good. Other conferences, their scheduling's a mess. I mean, I try to follow them. This makes my head hurt. We even had some ADs from other conferences share some different ideas with us. The SOC, I know we have two or three listeners. They've kind of come in on this discussion. Hopefully they're still listening this year. Maybe they can give us some feedback. But the more times than not, I guess, the SBC is certainly unmatched around the Southeast Ohio in terms of the way we honor our kids, the way we go about running our events. And I just think that we have a monopoly on that a little bit. You see two, three, four conferences around Southeast Ohio right now scrambling to just make any sense out of it at all. And that's why I say that I'm never against sitting down and discussing it. But I guess what I'm saying in terms of me being against it is I haven't heard anything yet that makes me think, yeah, that's a really nice thing I would like to try.
Okay, well, let's put on a hat then, as you said. What about as a coach? Do you see it any differently, or are all those things pretty much in play for a coach as well?
Well, I think when you start talking coaching, and especially at smaller schools, keep in mind, I think the challenge – Derek touched on this, and Derek's points were all really, really good points, and the one he made was about the enrollment factor. At a smaller school, we're challenged. We got to get our kids out. We got to coach 100% of the kids. We have to deal with different attitudes and challenges, where if you know you have 30 kids out for a junior high basketball team, you can run two, three attitudes off or get rid of this kid or get rid of this kid. At the smaller school, you kind of have to maybe work through some of those different things. But I think a bigger factor is, as a coach, and this goes to the administration as well, is making sure that we put good coaches and committed funding and committed support into the programs. Because I think here's what happens, and let's face it, let's be real honest, this is more of an OHSAA problem, but a lot of it becomes the factors of kids leaving some of the county schools and arriving more to Chillicothe, a Uniota, Zane Trace type of thing. And it's almost a rich get richer. Yeah, a perfect example of this, guys. Remember there for, I bet 4 or 5 years when they had, Southwest City Schools? Is that correct up in Columbus? Where they went through the levy issues of sports and Westfall gained all the athletes there for the longest time. Mm-hmm. They benefited greatly for a long, probably a 4 or 5 year period in terms of a lot of the kids to a lot of sports that they ended up getting. That's happening in the SBC. And please understand, when I say this, this is in no way a knock on a Uniota or anything. All Uniota is guilty of is putting together incredible facilities, incredible programs to where kids want to be a part of it. I mean, it's a situation where it's a heck of a lot easier if you're in a struggling program where a school hasn't really committed to a coach, if a school hasn't really put together a good little league program or a good thing, and you put a lot of time, you and your family, I understand why you pack up and leave. You know, you look over the years at Uniota, the Wright sisters there in softball, and now Haley on their cross country and track team. Emily Ward was a key point. Jeremy's joined me on the show here for several years. Emily was a member of the softball and volleyball coming over. The Mohan family, they're from Paint Valley. Tucker Marco from Paint Valley. Boys basketball, Isaac Wheeler, Peyton Hill. And so what's happening a lot of times is they're coming in earlier. Remember, Logan Swackhammer came over in the eighth grade and now is there. The girls basketball, you're seeing it at some of the younger levels, and you're going to start to see it impact. So, again, I'm not in any way attacking Uniota here. The point I'm making is the challenge that we face at the smaller schools is we have to make sure that we as coaches, as administrations, that we are putting proper things in place to make sure that our kids are wanting to be a part of the Paint Valleys and the Huntingtons and the Southeasterns and so forth, because that's kind of what we're running into right now. And to say it's not impacting a race, to say a Peyton Cooper coming over in golf for 2 years, not impacting the golf race, well, you're just blind to the truth. That's just it. Again, it's not me saying anything wrong. They did well what's in their right to do. The point I'm saying is that's probably the biggest factor of what we have to be able to do. Now, maybe to Derek's point, maybe that's happening at a lot of other bigger schools and we don't notice it because this is our area. You know what I mean? Maybe Jackson's getting the Vinton County or the Wellston athlete, or, you know, maybe a lot of times maybe Athens is getting a Nelsonville or an Alexander. I don't know. I'm not familiar with those areas, but I know that's probably – if you're asking me to put on a coaching hat, Bruce, that's probably my biggest challenge is I take pride in making my program worthy enough to where kids, when they're growing up in the 7th, 8th, 9th grade, the parents will look and say, hey, the Paint Valley baseball program is worthy of me keeping my son here at Paint Valley. He's going to get an opportunity to be coached properly and play at a high level. And I think that's probably what's happening, because if you look at it, the outliers in our league, Adena volleyball, Southeastern boys basketball, Paint Valley football, you know, Huntington and certain things throughout the years, their basketball programs over the last 20 years have been pretty competitive. Volleyball has been pretty solid. But I guess, Derek, that's where I come from there. And Bruce, I know I went on a little bit there, but that's sure. Probably when I start talking about the coaching hat, that's probably far, far more passionate in terms of my opinions.
Yeah, your ears got a little red there, I guess. Now, well, let's kind of change it up, a different hat for, actually, this one applies to both of you. How would this affect, and Derek, we'll go to you first. I mean, you're the one that said you believe it would be in best interest of the conference. What about press coverage and things like that? I mean, you would be a part of that if it were expanded, if the league were expanded to the extent that you talked there. I mean, wouldn't that make it harder?
Obviously with just me being here, you know, it would make it harder on me. But I tell you what it would make it easier on is the kids to get noticed.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, you know, you take somebody like a Miami Trace, and mm-hmm. that they come to mind because they just played Chillicothe this last Friday. But, you know, they have a newspaper in Washington, mm-hmm. in Washington Courthouse. Right. So say a Miami Trace plays a Huntington, and those Huntington kids are now getting exposure in Washington Courthouse that they would probably not get if they were, you know, a non-conference school and playing in a non-conference match. You know, for me, to be quite frank, we stopped covering Waverly this year because they're not in the SVC, and they're not Chillicothe. And Waverly has the Pike County News Watchman, which is a great – and Julie Billings does a great job there, you know, running that ship. And, you know, I think that Waverly was upset when that happened. But the fact of the matter is I'm one guy. And, you know, now say – and their argument was, well, you cover Piketon and you cover Westfall. Well, they're in the SVC, mm-hmm. and they play Adena, Huntington, Paint Valley – you know, Southeastern, Zane Trace, who are all in a 10-minute driving distance from me. So I can very easily go see, you know, a Piketon volleyball team play and then also get to see, you know, another conference team. So that's double coverage for us, and yeah. that's double the readers.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would benefit in some ways, but for the teams and their coverage. But how hard it would be for me to do that. Yeah, I mean, it would make my job harder.
Yeah. Shane? Whatever you think.
Well, I certainly agree with everything he's saying there in terms of the attention and who, because I know the Waverly example is a really, really quality example. I think that in this case, when I break this down and I really look, I think there's two things that I've always said could be what really moves us forward. Take your extreme schools in the SVC, your Uniota at the top in terms of enrollment, I'm saying here, mm-hmm. or your Paint Valley at the bottom. I know this conversation came up there at Paint Valley about 7 or 8 years ago, and it was a really serious topic at the time of, hey, where's our athletic program going to go here in the future with our enrollment? Because our enrollment was falling apart. That was some of the first years we were going Division IV and so forth. So I think it's either Uniota saying, hey, we want to move on, and we want to lead this expansion, or we want to try to become a part of something much, much bigger than just the SVC. Or it could be something like a Paint Valley saying, we want to go. I'll take you back 7, 8 years ago. I might even offend some Paint Valley people for saying this, but I think it's true. When we lost Jake Kretzer to Waverly, mm-hmm. that was a big deal. I mean, that set our athletic program back probably 5 or 6 years. You're talking about a once-in-a-generation athlete. You're talking about a kid that was going to be a huge part of the football program, basketball program. He was going to rewrite the SVC record books if he played against SVC competition every night. And then you obviously in baseball, if he was able to play baseball because of his AAU requirements and all that, he was going to be very, very good there. But that set us back quite a bit. Yeah, that's an example of what I'm talking about, of keeping these athletes home, because I think, again, it's going to be a Paint Valley saying, hey, we can't do this anymore, or a Uniota saying, hey, we don't want to do this anymore. And then what will happen is the domino effect of the other schools following. But as far as the SVC stepping up and saying, hey, we want to expand, I don't know that I see that happening in the near future, at least. And I guess my whole point in the opening was I can't blame them. I think that it'll be interesting to see if some of the individual schools kind of lead the discussion. But I know Paint Valley's probably stepped back off of that more in the last 3-4 years, as our athletic programs have had far more success than the previous 3 or 4.
The people that you talked to or that brought this topic up to you, were they from, I mean, without giving away their identity, because it was probably in terms of, you know, it was just a off-the-cuff comment, were they from maybe the bigger schools?
That's what's unique about it. Actually, I can think of two examples right off the top of my head that are from both. I had a conversation with a Huntington person. I've had a conversation with a Westfall person. I've had a conversation of Uniota. So that's kind of your small, medium, big.
Yeah.
In terms of the talk, and the thing of it is you'll get a lot of mixed bag. A lot of times you'll get even some Uniota people that I think are intrigued by becoming a part of something a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, Shane, and to your point, you know, you'd say Uniota, and again, not to pick on Uniota by any means, but
no.
Let's look at football this year, and if they say they went out and go 8-2, probably mm-hmm. they're not going to make the playoffs at 8-2. If you know, this happened, I believe it was 2 years ago when Eric Hosley was a quarterback of the team. They went 8-2 and did not make a playoffs.
Right.
If they're in a bigger division and they play the Miami Traces, the McLean's kind, they played McLean this year and won. But they played Chillicothe, McLean, Miami Trace, and then they go 8-2, they're absolutely in the playoffs. I mean, wouldn't you think that as a football program, they would want to make that move? I mean, they never had a playoff appearance in school history, and they've had winning records. I mean, you look at a Chillicothe last year that went 7-3 and made the playoffs. They went 6-4, I believe, the year before, made the playoffs. Right. And then you have a team that's go 8-2, and you win 8 out of 10 games, and you're not getting recognition for your efforts.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I had a person from a smaller school say to me one time, actually they've said it to me multiple times throughout the course of a couple years when this conversation comes up. They said, if Uniota ever figures out football, that's mm-hmm. when this is going to really move forward. And I think what they meant by that is exactly what you're saying. The reason that's never been a factor is, me being a Uniota grad, I can talk to this. How many times in the last 20 years has Uniota gone 8-2? Not very many.
True.
So it's a situation where I think that's a fair comment. Obviously, Uniota is more than dominated, as you said with the sports banner, more than dominated about 80-90% of the sports. But because of Edina volleyball, it's neutralized Uniota's titles in volleyball. And because of, say, a football with a paint valley, a Westfall Piketon, it's really neutralized, or Zane Trace, it's really neutralized, you know, Uniota's ability to ever be even competitive in football. So obviously some of those times are changing too, for a lot of different reasons. But, man, I tell you, every time this topic comes up, it's always great passion. It's always great feedback. So it for people who say it's not worthy of being brought up on SVC Sports Talk every year, I would love to hear from those people and know why.
Well, I was just going to mention that. I mean, obviously, this is something a lot of passion is involved, and we'd like to hear about it. And I'll give you a little bit later, I'll go over how you can contact us. But the bottom line is here, we'd like to hear from you. So if you've got anything to say, anything to add to the discussion, we'd love to hear from you about the SVC and potential for any type of expansion. So we'll probably revisit this throughout the year. If I'm a betting man, I'm betting on that. What do you think? Well, next we return to the current SVC action. We start by looking at football and what we've learned from the first half of the season. Well, our football segment is going to be brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. They're located at 116 East High Street in Circleville. You can give them a call, 740-477-9828. And they're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 12, and closed on Sunday. But they are your source for local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and all kinds of sports equipment. You can check them out on the web, www.cnkathleticequipment.com. Well, another Friday night has come and gone, and where are the matchups? They seem to show more hints of more parity than normal. Derek, what's your thought on that?
Well, I'd tell you what, Shane, this Wednesday at the round table, I'm just going to flip a coin when I pick the game because I have no idea anymore whatsoever. You're right. I mean, parity is obviously a big player now in the conference. You had an Edina team that's 1-3, and they played a 3-1 Piketon team tough, had a chance to win it at the end of the game. You had a Westfall team that went into Huntington, played one Huntington at home, but still hosted Huntington, and really, I think a lot of people thought that Huntington was going to go 3-2, and then Westfall kind of puts one on them. You have, and then obviously with a Uniota team that beats Paint Valley, which hadn't happened since 2011, and it also hadn't happened in this century in Bainbridge. Happens. Mm-hmm. So. You know what? I am, like I said, I'm just going to start flipping coins and enjoying football action.
Shane, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly the parity talk. I mean, Zane Trace obviously got out quick on Southeastern there, but Southeastern ended up putting, 20 points on the board throughout the whole game. But look at the other halftime scores, 22-13, and that game ends up going all the way down to the final play. 13-7 with the team up, ended up getting beat bad. Then 2015. So that tells you that games are getting into the third and fourth quarter with the outcome still to be decided, and that's not always been the case throughout SVC football. So that certainly tells you turnovers, big plays. The non-league scheduling kind of still been confusing. It's going to take us a few more weeks before we really even have a clue. But I tell you, the very impressed with Westfall the other night. So, I mean, I just don't think there's going to be very few games that we look at the remainder of the year and say, hey, I guarantee you this team's going to win.
Well, given that we are at the halfway point of football season, I got a couple questions here. This isn't really our hurry-up offense or anything, but quickly, I wondered if you guys each give me your reaction to this. For instance, what from the first five games has been a pleasant surprise to Derek?
For me, after a loss to Waverly, Piketon, I mean, 4-1 now, they've ripped off four straight and have looked good through the passing game and in the running game with Barker and Berkheimer. So I'd say the red streaks.
Okay, Shane?
I think it's that. I think from the first opening question there, Bruce, I think it's more of the competitive balance. You look at Southeastern Huntington's football programs, the way they've come on, but it's just more enjoyable to follow has been my pleasant surprise. You know, Edler Berkheimer, Harris Dawson, we talked about the quarterbacks that have come on. But then we also look at the growth, McCloskey, Newland, Ruby, and I'm telling you, this Gibson kid, good to see Matt Jude back. I think Matt Jude's a really good athlete. And he's going to help them in a lot of leadership intangibles. But no matter how they use this Gibson kid, I'm telling you, Zach Gibson of Westfall, remember that name the next 5 weeks. This kid's special, and he can really, really make plays.
Okay, on the other side of the coin, what's been a little bit disappointing to you?
You know, for me, I'm actually going to counter Shane's answer here and go with Westfall. And as I went with the Piketon as a surprise team. And,
it's fair.
You know, with Westfall, I really thought I was – and still, I'm really high on Trent Olds, and I think that that head coaching regime is really going to work out for the Mustangs. However, this year, I really thought that with the spread offense and the athletes they have, they would be maybe a 3-2 team with a tough non-conference schedule. Let's not forget about that. But I thought they'd be 3-2 at this point. I'm even 2-3. But really, other than their first 2 weeks of SVC play, you know, really just kind of got knocked around a little bit. So I'm kind of disappointed in that 1-4 start. Hopefully they can pick things up.
Shane?
I went a little different route here, maybe instead of just a particular team. I think the special teams has been really disappointing to me. It's been kind of a tough thing to follow, but, you know, a lot of let's face it, every team has those one or two special athletes that they're trying to be creative and get them ways to get the ball in their hand. And I'm amazed how many times that teams will just kick it directly to them or, you know, in the punt or the kickoff or whatever it is. The other aspect of this is in high school, with these smaller schools like we have in the SVC, you get a lot of younger kids onto the field, and special teams can really dictate winning or losing a game. I mean, ask Paint Valley from week 4 when it benefited them to the other night when Derek was out in Bainbridge if they think special teams is pretty important in winning or losing. I mean, it really is. I've seen it probably 6-7 different schools where it's kind of flip-flopped in terms of being good to bad in terms of dictating the outcome of games.
What are you most confident about for the next 5 weeks, Derek?
Hey, I can tell you this. In 5 weeks, there's going to be 4 matchups per week. There'll be 20 winners and 20 losers. Other than that, I have no idea. I'm not confident in anything right now, especially with this last – I was 4-6 in picks this week. There is not really an ounce of confidence in me left, all right?
We got that going for us. Shane, anything for you?
Well, I'm confident that the Zane Trace line is really, really good. I'm confident that the Harris kid is really special. Now, I know they're going to be playing a desperate Paint Valley team coming up, but I think that's probably the thing I'm most confident. Now, the difference between last year's Zane Trace team and this year's Zane Trace team is one, their overall depth of talent and their playmakers and their defense and so forth, plus the league is a lot better. So there you have 4 or 5 offenses capable of going out and on any given night, if they get in the right matchup, scoring 35, 40 points. So that's where the lack of confidence comes from in terms of picking a winner. But I am very, very confident that the Zane Trace offensive line and rushing attack is who we thought they were entering the season.
Maybe I should have led with the next question for Derek, but what are you most confused about when predicting the next 5 weeks, Derek?
How much time do we have?
Not very much.
If I had to pick, you know, games or predicting, you know, I think Shane's went with a couple scheme type of answers. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about picking winners of games, I would be confused about both anybody that Huntington and anybody that Edina plays, because Edina, it seems that they rise to the level of their competition then they drop to the level of their competition sometimes. They played a tough Piketon team this past week, and like I said, almost beat Piketon. The week before, they beat Westfall, but Westfall had a chance to beat them. Then Huntington, you know, I think it's a lack of maybe defense out there in Huntington, but their offense is explosive. And then they've lost a couple straight here. So I'd go with Huntington and Edina, kind of predicting the winners of those games.
All righty. Shane?
Well, I think that's really a good observation, because I think what happens with Edina is when you run the ball the way they do at that tempo, it makes you a very scary matchup for teams better than you, but it also does slow the game down and maybe allow some of the teams at the bottom of your schedule a chance. So I think that's a good observation. For me, it seems to be where the depth of some of these rosters are. You know, in the past, when I consider Paint Valley's numbers, You know, they always had such great depth. But I think what it is, Derek, is the depth had come from the younger talent. Well, this particular year, the younger talent is that's the starting lineup. So, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, I don't want to beat the dead horse and be too hard on the Cats, but, you know, you can't overlook what is happening to that defensive unit in the final, say, 16, 17, 18 minutes of a game compared to the first half of a game. And it's just becoming a kind of an overall theme. Now, there's obviously other factors into that. So I think the overall depth of rosters and trying to figure out who's going to be able to handle the natural injuries that come 7-8 weeks into a football season, or who's going to be able to maybe start to develop those extra weapons to kind of make the difference. Because, again, we're going to have a lot of close games.
All righty. Well, I mentioned the hurry-up offense, Shane, so why don't we head that way?
Yeah, let's go ahead and give a shout-out here to Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, as we always do a couple times a week, we want to thank them for their support. You can check them out on the web or just give them a call. It's the easiest thing to do, 740-986-4653. Tell them SVCSportZone.com sent you, and I tell you, they'll really come up with some great deals and make it worth your while to get up there and play a little bit. So here we are, kind of some of our halfway thoughts. This segment would drive Jeremy Ward nuts, Bruce.
Yes, it would.
But at the halfway point, we'll kind of play fan a little bit and just kind of take on some topics, and I'll let Derek go first there, and I'll follow up. So here we go with this week's hurry-up offense.
What would you consider the best game or event that you've covered in the first part of 2016?
Shane, for me, it's got to be the Unioda Adena volleyball game that me and you covered live. That was just, I mean, so many rally points, so many volleys. I mean, just constant competition and action. I don't think I've had that much fun at an event that much not knowing who was going to win that event, even in football. To this point,
I have to agree. Selfishly, that was the most enjoyable thing I've done maybe in the history of the website to this point. I mean, obviously there's other games, your Piketon Huntington volleyball match you and I watched the other night, Zane Trace Logan on football, Unioda Southeastern volleyball. But selfishly, yeah, the Adena Unioda volleyball match, I really look forward to the website maybe expanding and being able to do more of that.
What athlete has had the year's top performance in terms of a single game, match, or meet so far in 2016?
Shane, you kind of hit on this just now. I have to go with Ricky McGill at the other night against Piketon. She broke a school record. 40. I mean, her stat line is just ridiculous. She had 47 kills, 37 digs, 9 assists, 8 aces, 20 serving points, 23 serve receipts. I think she kissed 2 babies and dropped her name in the presidential race. And I'm voting for her, let's put it that way. So Ricky McGill would be mine.
Yeah, I certainly can't argue with that pick. I'll go ahead back to the beginning of our show here a little bit and go Steven Zimmerman. When you consider what he has done down the stretch here, basically they played Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon. He goes 39, 32, 36. For him to go out 32 with the player of the year on the line in the SBC championship, still kind of up in the balance. You know, you talk about not giving Unioda any room, a little ray of hope. I mean, you go fire 32 on the front nine, it's game over. So real impressive for him to do that, especially on the tough track that they played down there at Fort.
This question is from a fan email this week, and the fan wants to know if there is a coach from a fall sport who is underrated and needs to get more recognition for the job he or she is doing.
For me, you know, I don't think we talk about cross country a lot, and really with Unioda and the way that they dominate cross country in the SVC, and then even in other meets as well, and in larger meets, I'd have to go with Matt Paxton there. He does a lot for those kids. Those kids are constantly at the top of leaderboards, and you know, big Division One meets. You know, even running against Division One schools, and he, you know, he's got a streak going of being to the state cross country meet for several years in a row now. So I'd have to go with Matt Paxton. He doesn't get a lot of credit, and I know cross country is not a lot of forefront of our coverage areas and you know, the things that we do and go kind of see. But Matt Paxton does a great job out there at Unioda, and he deserves all the credit he gets.
Well, we certainly have some great coaches in the fall. Obviously, Laura Smith. You mentioned Matt Paxson's a great answer. Dan Drummond, Pete Holland. But for me, the most underrated coach in the fall, if not the entire SVC period, is Lori Coker. When you look at the job that she's done throughout her career, first at Westfall and now at Zane Trace, I want to say it's 362 wins, 16 sectional titles, 12 district championships, three-time district runner-up, including last year with the Zane Trace team that she really did a great job with. She's been to a regional runner-up four times. She's been to the Final Four in 03, 04, 05. Plenty of times being SVC and District Coach of the Year. She's even won some State Coach Achievement Awards. But, you know, guys, she at Westfall, keep in mind, Westfall wasn't a volleyball juggernaut when she first got there, and she turned it into an incredible run of really, really good volleyball. And then keep in mind, when she was forced to leave to be honest, I don't remember totally. It's none of my business or anyone's business, but I think it had something to do with her job that forced her to change schools. Think about it. She left Westfall in great standing, and they went on to have great years after her. Then she arrives at Zane Trace, and she takes some nice athletes there, wins a league title, and so forth. And even now, as they go through some rebuilding where they've lost some female athletes out of that school district for a variety of reasons, she continues to put a very competitive product on the court in terms of what she's already won a league title, and then I said district runner up last year, and here she is having this young group over 500 dealing with some injuries. So yeah, Lori Coker would definitely be an underrated coach to me.
This question may be tough to answer because some sports are halfway finished while others are done with the regular season. But who is your male and female athlete of the fall at this point?
If we're going across all sports, I don't think I can't pick Sylvia Gray from Uniota. You know, she's 16-0 now. Before, if she won 6-0, I believe the other night, that means that she's now outscored her opponent 192-5, if you're counting at all. it's just total domination. I mean, she Uniota goes into matches now knowing they're going to have at least one win. All they have to do is have two other, a singles player and a doubles team to win, and then they win the match. I mean, so she's been, you know, on top of her game and just really at the top of the competition. If we're going male, again, across all sports, I'd have to turn to football, and I'd have to go with Clay Edler just because of the way that he's carried that team, really to a 3-2 start. They're the only team to score on a Waverly team that's outscored their opponents 164-13 this year. They've pitched four shutouts. I think he's been in the end zone 15 times. He's leading the area in rushing. He's second or third in passing. And really, I got a chance to watch him live this past Friday against Pay Valley. And you can see just the way he leads his team out there. A lot of confidence in that young man. And I'd have to go with him. So I guess two Uniota ones for me.
Well, I guess for me, because of where we're at in the fall, I would probably go back to my one pick earlier tonight, Steven Zimmerman. And I totally agree with Sylvia Gray. But I think a lot of that has to do with how deep they are into their years. Their resume is more complete. I think Edler, Berkheimer, teams like that, Harris, all those kids still have an opportunity to complete, especially if they complete it with a championship run. We mentioned Ricky McGill's performance earlier. All of those kids still have, man, 3-4 weeks to still add. But because of the completeness of their resume, I'd probably go Zimmerman and Gray.
And that is our Hurry Up Offense, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call and tell them SVCSportsZone.com sent you. Well, Shane, before this becomes a factor, I want you to know I've already talked to the network, and they said we could go long in this show, okay?
Well, I was going to say the SVC expansion talk, and rightfully so, we had some really good discussion. I'll kind of try to do a good job of spreading the agenda out to different people and going a little bit longer. But I think people will really enjoy that talk, and, sure. And what's so neat about that talk is everybody has an opinion one way or the other.
Yeah, and we'll get to how you can contribute that in a little bit. Let's get into volleyball. We know that Adina and Uniota both played at a high level this week, and what other headlines jump out as we enter the second half of the year?
Well, for me, I guess I look at an email and a couple different people who have maybe accused me of giving excuses for Adina.
No.
And because I've talked about Adina losing Kelsey Bosser to injury.
Mm-hmm.
And them feeling like that takes away from what Uniota and then Southeastern's accomplished. And I don't know that I could disagree more. I mean, we just talked about how much we enjoyed giving the coverage to Uniota's volleyball team. If you listen to last week's SVC Sports Talk, an entire 15-20 minute segment was on Southeastern volleyball. Certainly are going to spread the love out to teams that are worthy. But if I'm giving a true analysis of what's happened in the SVC Volleyball League, if you don't think the Kelsey Bossert injury has impacted the league, then we're just going to have to agree to disagree. You know, she's a kid that plays all the way around for Adina, a high-level athlete. Now, we did get some different reports here in the last week or so, outside chance of maybe her improving a little bit down the line. Boy, would that be awesome if she could get back maybe a little bit earlier than expected. But right now, it looks like the SVC season's going to play out without her. And boy, does that kind of becomes the unfortunate headline, as I've said before, because it kind of just weakens Adina just enough to make this thing get real, real interesting, as far as I'm concerned, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally agree. I think it's I think it's already interesting enough. I mean, with four teams at the top of the league standings right now, with one or two losses, and really, I believe that any one of those teams could really win the league right now. So, you know, we talked about parity in football. I'd say if you're talking about headlines that jump out during the second half of the year, I'd say maybe the continued parity even in volleyball this year.
Sure, yeah.
Well, let's do a quick rundown of how you guys think the teams are doing and what the second half outlook is for each of them. We're going to start with the bottom half, and we'll pass that to Shane. So the bottom half right now, Piketon, Zane Trace, Westfall, and Paint Valley. Shane?
Well, there's two or three things that jump out at me. One is even when we consider it bottom half, how well these teams do when they leave the conference and go out in the non-league play. I mentioned Zane Trace having a really good overall record as they look to defend another sectional title and get back to the district. Westfall playing really, really well in the non-conference, had a win over Chillicothe, who I believe is winning their conference, Derek.
10-0, uh-huh.
Yeah, wow. Paint Valley is a team that with some sophomore talent. I'll tell you, the growing pains in the SVC are really, really tough on young teams that are trying to build a program. And then obviously Piketon. Piketon's the team that's trying so hard to stick its nose in the top half, and they have elite talent in Chandler and Morris. And when Conley plays at the high level she did in the back row the other night, particularly in those first two sets, I thought you said that really well, Derek, in your tweet. It shows you how high a level they can play at. It just seems right now that they're just maybe one or two pieces away from being one of those top four teams. So for me, Derek, it's probably the overall strength that they still show when they leave the conference, but it's also probably an overall factor of how each of them are probably maybe one hitter at the net, maybe even one extra passer and serve receive away from being maybe as elite as the top four teams in our league. Your thoughts?
I mean, on the bottom half of that league, you know, and kind of what their outlook, you know, should be maybe in the second half, you know, Paint Valley, I think they need to they're really wanting to win an SVC game this year. And I know that's something that they put out a goal earlier on in the season to do that. So, you know, I think they need to focus on that, then obviously get better for the tournament, as every team needs to do. But Paint Valley is a little bit different because they play in a D4 tournament.
Yes.
And
yes,
they're playing D3 and then D2 Uniota teams all year long. I think Paint Valley, and they've also, and Shane, I don't know if you maybe have her in class or something out there at Paint Valley, but they've got the Alyssa Adkins girl from Chillicothe now. So I'd look for her actually to make a pretty positive impact on that team as well.
No question.
For Westfall, you know, it's got to be really utilizing Caitlin Young and Becca Brown more. If I'm Westfall's coach, Becca Brown and Caitlin Young are hitting the ball or touching the ball every single volley. That's what's going to win games for you. Obviously, Darby Beavers is a great setter there for the Mustangs as well, but you got to put emphasis on your best players. Zane Trace, honestly, just keep doing what you're doing. I really didn't even think they'd be 8-8 at this point. You mentioned Lori Coker earlier. That was a great point as well. She just really brings talent out. Her players just ooze talent when you don't really – you underestimate them constantly, and then they just continue to win, especially out of conference. I honestly look for Zane Trace to, you know, maybe even make a deep tournament run. just because of their coaching and the talent they do have. Evie Bennett, I believe it's Evie or Evie. I believe it's Evie Bennett. Really, again,
having a nice year. Yeah.
Yeah. And nobody knows. So I think they've got some really, really great kids on that team, and hopefully they make a long-term run. Then Piketon, as soon as they get Macy Conley back, that team is going to be able to pass better. And not saying that Kaylee Courtright didn't do a great job this past week. I mean, she broke a school record with 51 assists in the loss to Huntington. But when they start passing the ball better, when they start receiving the serve better and getting off that first pass, and then they can get the ball to Chandler and Morris, and they can really be dangerous as well when it comes to tournament time.
Okay, that's what we referred to as the bottom half. Let's talk about the top half, which includes Unioto, Edina, Southeastern, and Huntington. Derek?
You know, for me, obviously, with Unioto, they go to play a tough, I think it's a state-ranked Portsmouth-Notre Dame team Monday night. And then, obviously, they get back into SEC play against the Piketon and then against Westfall. So I think they travel to Westfall. And actually, I think they travel to Piketon. Did they go to Piketon
as well?
I thought
Huntington and Unioto played this week.
Oh, Huntington. That's right. They host Huntington. So it's a tough. Okay. I think Edina goes to Piketon Tuesday night. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but you know, for Unioto, obviously, just continue to do what you're doing. Edina, kind of the same way, until maybe they get Bosser back, and, you know, later on in the season. Honestly, I think it's going to be those two, and then Southeastern's a dark horse favorite to really jump in there. They've thrown a wrench in things already, and they can continue to do that. They've got both Unioto and Edina left on that schedule. So, you know, hopefully that continues to happen for them. Jimmy Hutton's a really good coach. They got some great athletes as well, talent. In the younger ranks there for the Panthers. And then Huntington, for me, Shane, you have to have somebody, as great as Ricky McGill is, for Huntington to be successful on a tournament run in the SVC the rest of the year, or even have a shot at winning the SVC, somebody else but Ricky McGill has to step up and really become that second dominant hitter for the Huntsmen. When that happens, and then you have to key on that other kid, and then Ricky is just free to hit anywhere on the court, they can be very dangerous. And that, I mean, that could be a district final team.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I agree, you know, Bruce. I think as I look at the top half, I think we've always said the balance of Unioto is what makes them so elite. They have the outstanding setter that spreads the ball across. Obviously, we've talked on here about their young passing as well with Pinkerton and Coleman, and it allows Eberts to spread that ball out there across the Circleville match the other day. I know that was on display where you had about five or six kids pushing double figures and kills. Southeastern's kind of adopted that same thing. We talked to the Lady Panthers on the audio last week here on SVC Sports Talk about their growth in those areas as well, and the more they develop the passing. And that's probably – the passing is probably where it gets separated when you look at an Edina. What Carly Carroll allows them to do with Shea at setter, with Putnam and Poehler coming across the front row. Right now it looks like Coach Smith's really trying to find that third or fourth hitter with Bossert out. And we've seen some sparks. Miller is a kid that's jumped out at me a little bit. Rawlings has been a kid with some experience. But I think right now, Carly Carroll's ability to pass the ball, I know I watched them the other night play so, so fast that the young Huntington team just couldn't keep up at the net. That was such a factor. Now we talk about Huntington when they're playing the bottom half of the league, or when they're, you know, the other night they get in that dog fight with Piketon. A lot of times what happens, Derek, you make a good point. It's a rock and a hard place, you know, against the bottom teams there. When you're trying to pull out these five set thrillers, you feel like you got to go to Ricky, And she obviously took that match completely over the other night. It was absolutely a special, special performance. And that's not to say that, you know, it takes a team to win. Obviously, Alicia Long was working hard in the back row, and Riley Black played well, and Gus Hooks had some key hits and swings. So I'm not saying that, you know, everyone didn't contribute in a five set win. They obviously do, but she, you know, Ricky was certainly special. But I agree with you, moving into sectional district play, there's going to have to be a little bit out of Hooks, a little bit out of Braden Collins. Some of these other, I think Miranda McCloskey has a lot of potential, that they're going to have to get something the same way Ella Skeens has gotten it from a Skylar Heiss or a Bolte or a Collins that gives you just a little bit more depth. I threw out the challenge of 10-4 to Huntington at the start of the year, and they're basically a Southeastern win away from being in line to get that. That's not to say they still couldn't get knocked off by one of the other teams, but that's going to be an interesting stretch. So Thursday night, Bruce, in the league, I believe, is the is that the Edina Southeastern match?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's interesting to see if Southeastern can to take this momentum they've gathered and see where they're at as a program.
Exciting time in the volleyball. Exciting time in all of SVC. But this week we'll tell a little bit more of the tale, won't it?
Yes, it will.
Okay. Mentioned earlier about contacting the show, contacting any of us here on the show, and I want to kind of go over that. Shane can be reached at his email, probably best, at admin1@sbcsportszone.com. He maintains two profiles on Facebook, so you can look him up there. You can also follow him at Twitter at sbcsportszone.com, and you can also follow him on Shoutomatic as well, which he typically tweets out as well. So if you're following him on Twitter, you'll see that. Good old Derek, you can catch him on email at dweb@chillicothegazette.com, Twitter at DW1509. If you want to watch him cry about the Bengals, look on Sunday afternoons, it seems like. Although this week it's Thursday night. So you can also leave us a voicemail at DBK Media Services and Listener Line, 740-569-3254, and we'll get you on in that way. You want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that with a Podcatcher, which is an app which will watch our feed for new episodes and automatically download them to your cell phone or to your iPad or whatever you're using. You can get an email subscription by going to the post of any of this the episodes on DBK Media Services. Enter your email address, you'll get a verification email from Google, and then after that you'll be subscribed and you'll get an email each time a episode comes out. And of course, you can always find SVC Sports Zone in the iTunes store. Just give us a favorable rating, please, and a great review if you've got the time and you're so inclined. We want to move right into post-game comments now. Again, C&K Athletic Equipment, our sponsor for this. You can give them a call at 116 East High Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. They are your place for all local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and all kinds of sports equipment. I know you guys are going to be busy this week. Derek, we want to hear about what your schedule is this week for the Gazette, and please don't leave out the roundtable, at which I understand you make these wonderful picks.
Yeah, sure. We're going to have a this week's roundtable at Schlegel's Coffee House. With the Edina Warriors this week, I will have my two-faced coin there to flip. On Monday, I'll be everywhere all week long. I'll be in Piketon to see People's Piketon volleyball match, Huntington Unyoda volleyball on Tuesday. Then I'll be going out to Southeastern Zane Trace boys soccer, so kind of double duty for me that night. Thursday night, I'll be at Southeastern Edina, as Shane mentioned. And then obviously we'll do the football capsules, athlete of the week. And then Friday, I will be at Edina Huntington this week, my first chance to see both of those teams live. Mm-hmm. Then we'll also have coverage of Zane Trace, Paint Valley, and Southeastern Unyoda. And then Saturday, again, the double duty. I will be at, at 12, North Adams plays Huntington volleyball. And then that night, Waverly travels to Zane Trace in girls soccer. So busy week for me as usual.
Mm-hmm. Shane, what's on the website?
Well, as always, there's a lot of duplicate stuff there. As Derek and I are both looking at some of the same marquee matchups, but for me, I probably have a lot of attention drawn toward golf this week. A lot of sectional golf action here locally. I'll get over a chance, get to see some live action, enjoy seeing that. Keep in mind, you can move on as a team in golf, but then if you're not on a qualifying team, they also allow a couple individuals to go on. So not only can the Unyoda and the Piketon, Edina, Zane Trace, Southeastern, even Westfall have some chances as a team, you also have those individuals on there, you know, even a Blake Waters of Paint Valley and so forth with a chance to get out. So that'll be something we take a look at in golf. And then he mentioned volleyball. I'll most likely see Huntington, Unyoda, and Edina Southeastern. Another great night of football on Friday. But that I'm looking forward to Wednesday night, the Edina Warriors, correct, there at Schlegel's Coffee House. So haven't had a chance to talk a lot of Adina, so I'm looking forward to doing that. So I guess the one thing I would say before we get out of here, Bruce, is thank you to DBK Media Services to allowing us that extra 15-20 minutes tonight. I'll get the agenda out to where people can move around the show if needed, but I just feel like everyone around the league certainly is going to have an opinion on SVC expansion. So anytime that comes up, we always know it's going to be a great discussion, and this week was no different. So guys, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.